With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this man here joining me as ever is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you?
All right, David, how
good.
Are you?
I'm very well, yes.
Feeling a bit woozy, actually.
Woozy? Did you walk here?
I walked here, but you gave me an ice cream before, just recently, what I've eaten.
And the dairy has...
Well, I'm suggesting that you may have drugged the ice cream.
I mean, I don't know how that process would be, and I'd have to make my own ice cream. And then sort of pallet it into the middle of the Oreo cookies. I mean, it'd be a very laborious process just to drug you and steal your organs.
Sounds like you've fought it already.
No.
How much do organs fetch?
Oh, I'd say in Britain, I'm not sure. Probably hundreds, if not thousands.
Do they... Because you probably can't aid the organ, can you?
What do you mean?
Right, so say you're going to buy a kidney.
Yeah. It's got to be... stolen recently. You could put it on ice.
I know, but that kidney could come from a... you just see the kidney, and it could be from a 70-year-old man or from someone recently died. And you couldn't tell. Can you put some...
I think a forensic pathologist could tell.
Yeah, but not on the black market. If you go, it's a kidney.
No. You go, I don't know, is that an old kidney? Or has it just been kept in someone's pocket for too long?
But you couldn't tell. The thing is, what I'm saying is, how do you know what when you're getting...
it's very hard to know. I mean, that's the risk you run with the black market, isn't it, Marek?
That is a question.
It's not regulated.
Our listeners.
Yeah.
The dark web.
Have you got any experience in the dark web? What's it like?
What is the cheapest organ you can get on the dark web?
How much do you think it costs to have a man killed?
Depends where you are, I think.
Yeah.
Depends who you get to do it.
It's bloody London. The prices are through the roof.
And now, I mean, 10 years ago, you could have got paid a week's salary. You could have killed at least 5 or 6 people.
That's right. Not these days. It's political correctness gone mad.
Absolute scandal.
We're not here to talk about murdering people on the dark web. We're here to talk about films. But before we start, we should say we're sponsored by Her Film Project, who are an organisation that help promote diversity in films. And the website is herfilmproject.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at herfilmproject. So it's a worthy cause, and if you are trying to get a film made or you're just interested, then please do check them out.
A film about organ donors.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen a film about someone having their organs stolen.
I think I've seen something about someone waking up in a bar full of ice.
I mean, that's an old urban legend, isn't it? Your kidneys have been nicked.
Yeah, you've got 2 fingers at your bum.
2 severed fingers?
Yeah.
Well, they've given you some change at
and
least.
It's different.
Taking your kidneys. There you go, 2 fingers.
Have one of those, 2 of those, but they're from different hands.
Sure. That's nice.
Well, that's interesting. But you went to the cinema.
I went to the cinema this week, and I saw, in the ongoing saga, I saw Spider-Man Homecoming, the 3rd reboot of Spider-Man, in what feels like as many years.
What is it, 10 years, 15 years?
Well, when was the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man?
Not long ago.
Amazing Spider-Man, I'm looking it up now, was 2012, so it's been 5 years since the first
Andrew
Garfield one.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's all about the internal wranglings of who owns what, because before this old Marvel Extended Cinematic Universe gravy train started with Iron Man, they had licensed Spider-Man to Sony, And so Sony did the ones people quite like, actually, the Sam Raimi ones. Did you watch those?
Yeah, quite like the early ones.
With Tobey Maguire. And by the third one, though, it was terrible. It had gone really crap.
I can't work out if Tobey Maguire gives me the creeps or not.
Well, then he probably does.
Yeah.
But also the horn, and that's why you can't tell.
He doesn't give me the horn. No one's going to get the horn for Tobey Maguire.
Probably not. And then Sony tried to reboot it after the Sam Raimi ones to limited success, but basically they have relented finally, and they've gone, okay, you can bring Spider-Man back into the cinematic universe. And so it is entitled Homecoming, both because it's the homecoming dance at the high school that Spider-Man goes to, but also because the character has come home to Marvel Studios.
It's a
double meaning, you see.
Well done.
So this he's younger than he's ever been, I think, on screen. He's a 14-year-old kid in this.
He's 14?
Well, the actor is, I believe, 19, because I was thinking about this. If they'd actually cast a 14-year-old kid, you're still growing when you're 14. So they could make a sequel, like, in 2 years' time, and he might have completely changed and become really hairy and wide.
Yeah.
So they've gone for a 19-year-old.
When he's 14, imagine he's basically shooting webs all the time, waking up...
All over his room.
Waking up in a hole.
Covered in webbing, it is.
Why are these socks covered in spiders' webs, Peter?
Yeah. It's Tom... Is it...
Holland.
Who is Dominic Holland's
son.
Who
is a comedian from the circuit. He was going before we started.
Yes.
And I think Tom Holland was in... the stage show of Buddy Elliott, wasn't he?
That's right. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's how everyone thought, oh, right, we'll get him to become a superstar.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to become a film superstar, get in the child acting role.
Just make sure you have a father or mother who's already in the business before you're born. That's my advice to anyone out there.
Yeah.
So basically, they've tried to make this like a John Hughes sort of Breakfast Club-y high school movie. You'll be very pleased to hear it isn't an origin story. There's in fact one line that I found very funny. There's quite a lot of funny lines in it, but acknowledging that, where he just happens to mention to his best friend at high school that he was bitten by a spider, and the best friend, who's this kind of fat Filipino kid who's good, actually, he's very good, he says, well, can the spider bite me and then I'd have powers? And Peter Parker just goes, no, the spider's dead. That's the end of it.
Is he good, Tom Holland?
He's excellent. He really, really works in the role, and it's nice to see a different character, because they spend a lot of time on, you know, the sort of, yeah, John Hughesy sort of kids going through kids stuff. The baddie is also good news. It is Michael Keaton playing basically Birdman. He is.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he's the Vulture, isn't he?
The Vulture is the name of the character in the comic books, and the sort of people describe
him. The comic books
is
really, really old, like an old bloke. Yeah, you know, yeah. A bit like Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo in sort of green spandex. Yeah. Well, he is a sort of middle class working dad who gets screwed over by a big government, and so he goes into illegal arms sales using alien tech. From when aliens attack New York in the Avengers film. So he's built himself these sort of flying wingsuit to heist people's collections of alien hardware so we can steal it and sell it on, basically. Which
is not that bad, really.
Well, he's selling weapons to criminals, but what is nice is it's the world. The entire world's going to end. It's not. Yeah. It's a smaller story. And that feels... very positive that they can bother telling these smaller stories.
I posted a video I really liked by some bloke called Simon Cade, who just spoke and makes films on YouTube quite young, and it's called The Problem with Superhero Movies. It's on our Facebook page.
Okay.
It's a really nice short how he describes...
What are the bullet points?
Well, basically the same as what I said, that it's all too big.
Yeah.
You fail to find any emotional connection with them, and it's all just... totally, everything's overblown.
Yes. It gets closer. I wouldn't say it's 100% successful. It's still slightly overblown with all of the, you know, we're heading towards a set piece because it feels like we have to have one by now and all of that stuff. There was only one moment in it when I went, oh, you know, in terms of story. And for my money,
For your book or for your money?
In my book and for my money.
I want for your book and in your money.
You can dive into my money all you like, mate. It doesn't quite get there still. Stories should be like, oh, cool. And you should be drawn into them rather than see them passing like a ride, which, again, this is pretty much like a ride. But it's got some fantastic comedy cameos in it from people you'd recognise from some of the best American comedy TV shows at the moment. It's a different story, and it's one of the best films they've made, I'd say. Michael Keaton just brings class to it. Like, he's excellent. Yeah.
And
Robert Downey Jr. is playing the mentor character. So basically,
I've had enough of Robert Downey Jr.
Have you? I don't know, he's very good. I mean, I rewatched Iron Man fairly recently, and it's still the best film they've made.
The first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not going to watch any more superhero films ever. I'm done. Even though this one has got, it's got good reviews across the board.
Yeah.
Everyone's liked it. How many Davids do you give it?
I'd probably give it 7. I mean, it's
not as high.
No, because like you, I'm invested in this because I want to see what they do with it. I've said this before, but the idea of an expanded universe, I love. I mean, my favourite thing as a kid was Star Wars. I like people who bother building a world. Like, I think that's intrinsically sort of enjoyable. These films, as we've said before, you know, I give them a bit more credit, but they have stagnated and they keep doing the same things. This is a step in the right direction. It's still not a perfect film. It's still slightly dull.
What superhero or villain rather would you like to see Spider-Man fighting, your ideal Spider-Man?
What, actually from his rogues gallery or just someone I've made up?
Made up.
Right. Well, like what would be a spider's nemesis? Like Bathman?
Bathman's
a man who is the shape of whatever bath he was last in.
I was thinking of a villain called Percy Pantsdown.
Yeah, what's he do?
He goes around putting
Peter Parker versus Percy Pantsdown.
Yeah, he goes around putting people's pants and trousers down.
Oh no, but he couldn't with Spider-Man because he's in a onesie, isn't he?
I know, but he's got a special way of doing it. He's got a contraption he's built, mechanical contraption. First of all, he starts putting people's pants down.
Yeah.
And then what he does is he shouts over it. And then everyone turns around and sees the person with their pants and trousers down.
For a 14-year-old boy, that would be mortifying.
Yeah.
So I can see that working, actually. And it's a smaller story, isn't it?
But
it's
do you think that... Would Spider-Man say... Yes. Is it worth my time?
Defeating Percy Pantsdown?
Yeah.
Or shall I just buy a better belt?
Oh, no, but is it worth... you're a superhero.
Yes.
You heard about Percy Pantsdown going around putting people's pants and trousers down.
Yeah.
And you've got... You think, you know, I've only got...
In one go, yeah.
I've only got... He's very good at it.
He's very good at it, yeah.
He can actually undo the belt buckle and pull... With one hand and pull the pants down from the back.
Oh my God.
It's like this, literally. You're walking down the road.
Yeah.
Over here! Oh!
Ah!
So, is Peter Parker going to actually spend time... getting Percy Pantsdown?
I think he would, because he part of his journey in this one, if you like, is whether he is ready to take on the world stage with the Avengers, or whether he should be a friendly neighbourhood Spider-Man first and sort of just be
keep
to the local level. So Percy Pantsdown would be right in his remit, actually, as a sort of local troublemaker.
So do you think it's worth me writing to Marvel, drawing up a couple of strips in
I mean,
you know, on a napkin and something?
I would say it can't hurt, but I think it might. They could have you sectioned or something, couldn't they? So it might.
You're offered Percy Pantsdown
just for some of the other stuff you've done.
You're not done anything that weird.
Very careful.
Yeah. And do you want to say anything more about Spider-Man?
No, I mean, I think if you like superhero films, then this is sort of the best one of recent years. They're still ploughing on, doing their thing, you know. That's it, really. It's enjoyable. And actually, people who like sort of Stranger Things or any of these sort of evoking the spirit of the 80s, because it's still on vogue, they're still doing it in this.
Yeah, it'd be good if they actually did one for the current times.
I know, yeah. Actually worked out what is a contemporary sort of feeling, because it felt like in the 80s they had their own films, very very much so, you know, they were really high concept, fun, their own music, their own colour palette and everything in the 90s the same. You know, you had the Tarantinos of this
now
world.
Now everyone's singing. There's that Pitch Perfect bullshit.
Well, it's now sort of all, they've like, right, we have enough ideas and enough looks and enough stuff. Now it's just pick and mix, isn't it? It's just pick and mixing from the past.
That's what a terrible thing. When films influence television. So the Pitch Perfect was basically just a lot of pricks singing in each other's faces. And then I turned on my television on Saturday and there was a TV programme of just people singing at each other in some sort of singing battle.
Right, yeah. Oh, is that the one with Mel Giedroyc hosting it?
I don't know. It was awful.
Right, yeah.
It was just another singing thing.
Yeah.
But just people who... I mean, forgive me for saying that. People should have been bullied at school and had their confidence crushed so they wouldn't do this. Oh, I'm saying, yeah, I mean, this is controversial.
Bullying in this country has had its funding so cut.
I think that there's no bullying, and there's no, you know, what's a punishment at schools? It's not called, when you used to get the cane in the schools or the slip or discipline.
I mean, that's a bit before our time, isn't it?
Just at the end of
Did you get caned?
There was at my school, there was like a slipper.
No, a slipper?
Yeah. When I first started going, about when I was about 5 or 6, just the very end of the slipper.
The end of the slipper,
yeah,
goes right in.
It's on the Isle of Wight.
Just the toes.
Just put the beak in.
Oh, that sounds revolting. I'm glad that didn't happen in my school.
But I think a lot of people will disagree with me. There wasn't enough. The bullying is now has been sort of cut out in schools.
I'm sure people at school would disagree with this.
And then we're now seeing people singing in Pitch Perfect battles on television, which we wouldn't. I think, where does this come from? Where does this stem from?
Right.
And logically, I've gone back to the lack of bullying in schools.
Okay, so you're for a return to 1950s levels of bullying.
I am going to apply for government funding
to bully
to go around schools and just go, okay. Just go give them all names.
Yeah, like horrible nicknames.
Horrible.
That will stay with them their whole lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Based on one thing they've done, or one tiny little thing.
Your piss pants.
Yeah.
That's your name now.
That's done.
Your vomit head. All right. Well, good luck with that quest.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners will agree with me.
I'm sure they will.
Well, on that note, it's time
for this.
I should say we are running out of letters again.
Are we?
Unless we appeal for letters, people stop sending them in. And in a couple of weeks' time, it is our 300th
episode. That's 300 weeks of Marek coming round to my house. No, not quite.
The first, I think I just joined. I joined at number 50.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So. Big old centenary. What are we going to do?
Ask for money.
That as a special thing.
Why don't you
send us £300?
Celebrate us having 300 episodes by sending money.
Sure, that sounds. I mean, I love it when people send money.
Here's a letter.
Who is it, and what do they want?
It's from Andy Behan.
Right.
Subject: Okja, which we reviewed a couple of weeks ago.
Super Pig.
Hi Dave, American buddy. Watch Okja this week, you know, a Netflix produced feature. Apparently director Bong Joon-ho chose Netflix because it will give him complete creative control. I didn't know that.
Mm.
The film turned out correspondingly unique. Apart from anything else, it switches between languages in a fluid way I'm pretty sure I've never seen in a big budget film. It's a sort of surreal morality tale about the food / meat industry. The main character is a young Korean girl and a genetically modified pig. I actually thought it felt a little like a children's movie from the 80s in that it was filled with adventure, heartwarming, had some jokes in it, but it was also surprisingly violent and disturbing. Not sure everyone would enjoy it, but I really did. It was made on a proper budget and it shows. There are inventive chase sequences and stunning landscape in particular that would have been nice to see on a real screen. I'd say it's better and more ambitious than most things out on general release. Worth a watch, especially if you don't have to pay for a ticket. Let us know what you think and keep watching the films. Well, that letter came in before we recorded the previous.
Oh, right.
But, I mean, you made a lot more salient points than I did. That's a word, isn't it? Salient.
Salient points, yeah. And he didn't mention Jake Gyllenhaal's enormous performance.
Yes, I do think... she did say it was like a more children's film, which I do agree with. It was maybe... We talked about how whether that was because it was the Korean sort of influence making with a big sort of comic...
What you were describing sounded like the comedy performances in anime.
Yes.
Specifically. But I saw, on a side point, I saw Nocturnal Animals last night. I watched another Jake Gyllenhaal film.
Did you find it, some people found it very sexist?
Interesting. I found it, the scene on the highway in particular, one of the most uncomfortable scenes to watch. Because it felt so unscripted, you know?
Yeah.
It was very, very well done. I did find... I thought the author of this film is a sexist. I did feel that watching it. And there's a story within a story in Nocturnal Animals, and at first I thought it was being incredibly clever, that you got this sense that the author of the story within the story hated women. But then I also got that exact same sense from the framing device, so that immediately cancels out how clever it is.
Those, is that someone with the fat ladies dancing?
Yeah, the obese women dancing. Because I knew nothing about the guy who'd made it, but I had a guess to myself about halfway through the film, and I don't know what this says, but I got the sense, I was like, I think this is made by a gay man who doesn't really know what women are for apart from obeying his commands. And then I looked up who had written and directed it, and it was a gay fashion designer who's used to being around models who have to do everything he says.
Tom Ford, yes.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I got that sense from it. It is a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But undeniably well made, I think.
I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
What's weird, I got a weird thing where it was when Amy Adams was in two films at the same time, which was Nocturnal and Arrival.
Arrival. I still haven't seen Arrival.
And I watched those probably within the same week at the cinema.
Yeah.
And they've sort of weirdly merged. My brain has compartmentalised them into a similar...
single film.
Yeah.
Where Jake Gyllenhaal and Jimmy Bobo, what's his name?
Michael Shannon.
No, the other one. I love Michael Shannon.
Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
No, the guy in Arrival. Jeremy Renner.
Oh, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, have sort of merged into one. Michael Shannon, I think, is excellent in it.
One of the best faces in cinema.
He's a good man.
We've only got haven't got many letters. Maybe we should save that next letter for next episode instead of one letter.
One letter a week.
Crikey.
Alright.
I can make up a letter.
Go on then. Oh, here's a letter. Marek, why don't you read it?
Dear David, Marek and Buddy, I love your podcast. You guys are simply cool.
Nice.
Every week I learn something new. It's informative and educational, and much better than all the other podcasts out there. I can't understand why your listenership has remained stagnant for almost 5 years. Anyway, I think a really good idea for a superhero villain would be Percy Pantsdown, who goes around putting people's pants down.
Well, did you read this before?
No, I didn't. It's just come in. It's just come in during the
creepy well, coincidence.
That has supported. What's the word for reinforced?
Yeah, reinforced your faith in Percy Pantsdown.
In
as
my
a
ideas.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
Who's that from?
Michael Madeup.
Michael Madeup. Oh, keep watching the films, Michael.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, we could just do this if we don't get letters. Just
yeah. We could just do this as well for films. I mean, why watch any films?
We'll just talk nonsense for
absolute shit.
See if we can actually just get those listenership down to literally just Chris Webb.
Yeah, that's it.
And maybe Martin Appleyard.
That'd be nice.
He's been quiet, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's been a bit quiet. I hope he's okay.
Right, well, I went to see a film several of you recommended. I didn't go and see it. I bought it on Amazon for just 99 pence.
That's quite good.
And you can watch on Amazon Prime if you have an Amazon Prime. But
I do not.
But you can have a month's trial of Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I've already done that before.
It's really good, isn't it? But then it's not worth £7 a month.
You know, if you get it at the wrong time, they're not adding many new... If you get it at the wrong time,
you just
want
to get it
things,
around Christmas when you want to order stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tony Erdmann I believe it was nominated for Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. If in doubt, this is my go-to thing for watching films. If you're trying to find a film to watch, you know what to watch. Just look up the list of Oscar Best Foreign Language Films
from
all the years, and they are almost 9 out of 10 of them are brilliant. It's a surefire, if you don't mind reading subtitles, is just the best way to find out an unusual film you probably haven't heard of, which are better than most of the films on in the world. Tony Erdmann is written and directed by Maren Eid. I can't pronounce that. A German director. I looked her up and found out she is literally 6 months younger than me, and I felt depressed. But also happy for her.
Mary, come on, mate. Lots of people younger than you have achieved far more.
You're right.
It's not just someone who's 6 months younger.
Most people.
No, I wouldn't go that 50, far.
50% of people.
Half the people younger than you have already done more than you.
Well, let's move on. So Tony Erdmann is a story about a dad who's sort of probably in his sort of late 50s. He's divorced from his wife. He's got a new sort of family, and he's obviously a bit slightly mental, but he's just eccentric, I'd say.
Yes.
He finds different things funny. So it opens up with him. He's going to a school thing. He's got like horror makeup on, and he just wanders around after with it on, just not giving a shit, quite enjoying the fact that other people are. And he says very dry things. He's someone who doesn't really, of that age where you no longer give a shit what people think, which is great. Anyway, his daughter is almost the opposite to him, and she's a business lady who never sees the family, and she works as sort of a consultant in the oil industry, and is deadly serious and always on their phone and not contacting him. So he decides to go out and visit her when she's going to do business in Romania, and she sort of leaves him waiting around for hours and hours and goes, and he leaves. And this is just a preamble to it. Basically what happens is he decides to pretend to be his alter ego called Tony Erdmann, which involves him sticking some false teeth in and wearing a really bad wig and just introducing himself to all of her business clients. And she can't say anything because she's so worried that...
So she clearly knows it's him.
But she knows it's her dad.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to say, this is my dad, and embarrass herself. She just pretends she doesn't know him and go along with it. I mean, this is... I watched the first... It's 2 hours and 42 minutes, which is very long, especially for a comedy. But the first 45 minutes I found so refreshing. So refreshing from watching... The superhero films, and it's just a camera sort of following around, and there's time. As I get older, I appreciate, I think, smaller things and the unusual things and the things, certain nuances in performance, which you can only have when you've got time. So awkward silence can only be really awkward if you've got two people sitting there for about a minute doing it just and trying to and going through a whole gamut of emotions rather than it just being dialogue driven. And it feels really refreshing to watch. I don't know whether it sustains it for the whole time, and it's certainly not, it could have been, there's lots of laugh out loud moments, it could have been properly hilariously awkward, but it is more of the relationship between the son and daughter, and him just trying to tell her that life's more than just business. So it's just really, I can see why it's had all the plaudits there, and I really think it's great. And it could, you could see it and watch it, I thought this could be absolutely brilliant, and I'm not sure how, maybe a bit of, if it was tightened up a bit, then again it sort of needs that time to breathe. It needs that.
I mean, the American remake will undoubtedly be tighter.
Fascinating, because Jack Nicholson is playing. So in
Tony Erdmann, it's Christine Wiig. I've just looked it up.
Yeah. So Sandra Hüller plays his daughter Innes, and Peter Simonczek plays the father. I mean, you can really see Jack Nicholson playing that character. She's so good as this cold, I'll be interested to see how Kristen Wiig's going to play it, because she plays it totally straight.
Right.
You know, she's not there for love, and she's got sort of quite a cold face. Sandra Hüller, who pronounced it, plays. So she's perfect foil for this deadly thing. Not deadly, complete opposite character. I don't know what I said deadly for.
How weird.
Why did I say deadly?
Deadly.
Maybe it's something to do with this gun! I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
How many Marics? It's feeling like it's just come shy of your sort of 9, 10.
I think 8.
Okay.
Because the ambition's there. I would like people to write in and tell me what they think is... I mean, I think a lot of people are going to watch it and go, it's not for me. I hate that. But this is the film, the sort of film I love. I love foreign language films. I like weird stuff. I like it when the timing's different, when it just feels like I don't
You've
know
not watched Greasy Strangler yet, have you?
No.
It's a film made for you, I mean.
Yeah. I just thought it was really different, and the performances were both absolutely brilliant. But really interesting. You've seen these characters, you think, I've never seen this character before. I've never seen a dad who doesn't give a shit. Who you could see why it feels a bit like the Met, why Jack Nicholson was chosen to play it. It's a bit like him and as good as it gets. That's
well, he's been for decades. A guy who doesn't give a shit what people think of him.
Yeah, he'd be perfect for this role. Whether he's as good as this bloke, because he's probably listening. He's almost definitely listening to this. Peter Simonicek is brilliant in this role because he's got this, and he's just really funny without trying to be funny.
Right.
Who's just not? He's not playing for comedy. He's just doing it to amuse himself, and there's something so glorious about seeing an actor who doesn't give, you know, a character who doesn't give a shit, and he just likes the awkward moments.
Yeah, he's just toying with his daughter. Is
just his daughter's got some friends, and he's saying when he offered go, and she's it's brilliant. It's not really spoilers, but she just said she had an awful weekend, and she's her dad came to say it was awful with her two friends at the bar. And then he turns round, I suppose it's spoilers, and he's a guy behind them with a wig and he offers to champagne. It's just great, but it could have been brilliant. But I recommend, for a bit of fresh air, watch Tony Erdman. These are the bloody films that should be in the cinema. All right. It's very loose cinema.
99p on Amazon as well. I've been using the toilet more and more frequently. What's that about?
As you get older, you find that you'll get better. You probably won't go for a whole night's sleep without going.
Okay, well, fair enough. No, I've been using the Just Watch app, and it is really good actually these days.
It's also a website,
absolutely. But what's good about it is you can pick the streaming services you have and ignore all of the other ones, and so it tells you on a day by day basis what titles have been added.
I'm going to get it right now.
Yeah, it's excellent. I've got into the swing of my own routine of checking it in the mornings to see what's been added, so I can sort of plan my week's viewing, which is quite nice. But I recommend it to anyone who's got a smartphone, or just use the website, but it's called Just Watch. But if you've got Netflix and, you know, one other, or you like to download things off the iTunes store or off Google Play or off Wacky, which I use, which has just recently been rebranded as Rakuten or something like that.
Oh, that's quite good, that one.
Yeah, it is. So I just keep an eye on that and see what... It helps you get your money's worth from Netflix and the like, because you don't miss things.
I went to Best Foreign Language or foreign cinema on Netflix, and those are really great stuff on there that we have talked about.
Yes. But no, good. Well, I think that's it for this week. As we've already said, we are very low on letters, so why not write us with anything you've thought about films or anything you've seen? A childhood film that we haven't talked about before. Or even if we have and you've got your own take on it, then go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there. Also, we do all of this for free, coming up on 300 weeks in a row, which is sort of incredible. But if you've enjoyed the show and would like to contribute towards our crippling debt that we've accrued over those 300 weeks, then again, filmfandango.com and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you very much.
Thank you. So I was just looking.
You were miles
watch,
away.
I was
you?
Doing this just watch thing.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. What was the thing we said at the end?
Oh yeah.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.